Gentlemen, how we doing?
All right, Chris.
Yeah, good.
All right, we're almost right? In song.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, how we doing?
Good. Happy today, aren't you? Annoyingly happy, isn't he?
Sorry.
He's not used to you smiling.
It's not a criticism, is it? It's like, no. How good happened?
You bloody jolly bastard.
How good happened or how bad happened?
No.
It's really bad with you, isn't it?
No, all right.
Plain sailing.
Just content.
The Goths came out in force, by the way, protecting them.
Oh, did they?
After my comments last week.
The Dark Army.
I think this could be a parody, though, from Ellie Underdown. Talking about Dr. Martens, you're dressed like my auntie going to the gym, mate. Top episode.
Well, a negative with a positive at the end. That was just hit hard and then lift you back up.
I think it's known as a shit sandwich, that.
Cheers, Ellie.
There was another one and all. Someone went into detail on how they wear the Doc Martens
and
how they like them, yeah.
Are they like mine?
No.
No, oh, never mind then.
Comfortable.
Here we go. No. Mrs. D.
Not the Mrs. D, is it? Not Mrs. Doc.
Big D.
I'm a punk rock chick and used to wear Docs a lot. Wore them all over the world. Don't actually like them scuffed.
Oh, no, she likes them polished.
Personally. But they're hard to ruin. I did get beer, blood, and sick on them over the years, but they last a good while.
Bloody hell, she sounds like she did have a good night, wasn't it?
She did have some good travels, didn't she, bless her?
Kiss on the end.
Oh, kiss as well.
From Mrs. D.
I wonder if the other kiss were for.
Probably. He's a threat now, isn't he? Pin up boy, yeah.
Me and Mrs. D are out next week.
By the way, Mrs. D, we've all been holidays. You know what I mean? They've been all around the world. They've all been away, Mrs. D. No, thanks for your comments. Constructive.
Yeah, another fashion segment to start off. I had a clear out this week, actually. Full.
Well, you found that?
Did you? I found some right gems in back of the
That is a beauty, isn't it?
Found this in back. I had this.
How long have you been married?
10 year.
10 year. How long have you been with Rose?
18.
18. So you've had that jumper that long, there's probably still a condom in that top pocket.
Probably is.
It would look lovely with a high neck black t-shirt underneath it.
Especially if it's a bit cold at the back.
Imagine pulling the jumper out and go, I know, I'm going to stick a black t-shirt underneath that. It's almost over the shoulder, isn't it?
It's nice, isn't it?
It's lovely.
What would you put under it? Nothing?
It's like fuck.
I'll tell you what, I had a clear out. There's going to be some cats wandering around Syria next week when them bags arrive.
Oh.
Some stylish cats.
Imagine that being in Syria. Oh, the fuck, in England's bombers. You know what I mean?
Thanks, but no thanks.
Send the bastard. You can have,
send it back.
You can have that one, pal. it's not that cold.
Lovely.
Oh, by the way. Probably late to the party, but Happy Valley.
Are you enjoying it?
I'm addicted to it, yeah.
Yeah. I thought you'd be well into it with it being your neck at Woods.
No, we don't watch much telly. So
is he always going banging on about telly?
What's that one that you watch? There's about 50 series of it, the crime thing. CSI.
CSI and...
Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid were class.
But you love a crime.
Yeah, I do like crime.
What's the other one?
Law and Order, Criminal Intent.
Uh-huh.
Psychologist and
what
that.
About, who's your favourite detective like?
Detective Hercule Poirot.
Oh, who's yours?
Vera.
Vera? Fuck off. Vera's rubbish. Barnaby. Midsummer Murders.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Yeah, or Father Brown, I like him as well.
But like, I remember when if you stay at mine, reaching 12 o'clock at night, you'll just have a skim. You know them shitty channels on Sky?
Like 1:30 down.
Yeah.
He'd be like, you beauty. It'll be an old flipping CSI. Oh, good night, John. Sat up until half one watching it.
And he finds me upset here. Still at 7 o'clock in the morning.
One wood in hand.
I stopped off on the services where I had a bizarre urinal experience on the way down.
There's always something.
They're a strange thing to navigate, aren't they, sometimes, the urinals, when there's a few people in them. But there were a bloke I walked in with... what I could only describe as a chicken stance. He didn't even... He was
no hander.
Full floor, no hands, free flowing.
I think you've got to be careful with that.
Hands on hips.
Bit of a lean
back.
Almost,
yeah, it was almost like he wanted me to have a look.
Was it any good?
Average at best, I'd say. But it was a straight, like, going no hands as well.
Did he go... pants down to the ankles, or
no.
I've seen that a few
just
times.
Sit
by the way,
down.
That causes somebody that can cause couple of different reactions. It can cause a ha 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 or a what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I nearly got in a fight in Mojo's toilet.
What, were your pants around your ankles?
Yeah, schoolboy wee. And he just, this lad walked in and took offence to it. And I think I've got it on video somewhere. I'll find you it. My mate was filming it.
Just a minute.
From
just
behind.
Proper kind of a video on this one. Proper up on windowsill.
My mate was behind and somebody took offence. I don't know why. I think I was trying to, was I to get him to join in? I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll have to have a look at the video.
You can be an asshole on a night out, can't you?
But he didn't take offence. Didn't like it. Schoolboy wee.
What age are you when you go,
Elf, film this.
Come and film me having a piss at that.
I'm going to pull
them all the way to the bottom.
I'm going to pull my pants down.
I need to find it.
It'll be fucking chaos.
Oh, no, look at me bum. Look at me bum. What a night we're having. Just passes that sherbet dip there, mate.
If you're going no-handed, though, as well, that's in dangerous territory for the after dribble as well, because you're going to have the boxer.
How did he do it?
He was just stood there and then it. All right. And carried on. No hands.
So he's got nothing in his hand.
He looked proud of himself.
It's almost arrogant, isn't it?
Yeah. You know when you see someone on a bike with no hands? They always look, hands on it. You think, dickhead. I felt the same when he were having a wee.
Did you check it off for him?
No. I think he wanted me to. With his stance.
What's the classic technique then? Do you go. Hold the one.
Oh, I don't go.
Do you go for the lean?
On my pinch of it. two fingers, that's it.
I'll tell you when you know you've had a good night, when you've got both hands around it, your head's up wall.
Yeah.
you know you've had a good swill, don't you?
We chat some shit, don't we? We wonder why people don't enjoy these intros.
Well, I mean, have we got this week, Nicky Eden?
We're in Barnsley, aren't we? But...
I mean, because we've heard a lot, haven't we, about the Barnsley nightlife, and He
confirms it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, they all confirm it.
He's gone full string, fella. He's opened his own joint on the
Eden's
strip.
Bar. I go in quite regular.
Do you?
Yeah.
You were on the red carpet, weren't you?
I went to opening. You know what I mean?
Bit of a face on that.
You cutting ribbon?
No. Mayor were in for that.
Fuck off. Well, you got Mayor down for open up?
No, of course I didn't. It never gets, because it's a free drink, by the way.
Some era won it by the sound of it, that. When they got promoted.
Oh,
aye. Sounds like it was just a year-long holiday.
Free for all.
But they used to win.
Yeah.
So everybody joined in.
That's the era. Well, I like them. Funny money.
I don't think there was much work getting done in the Barnsley area. That's why pits closed. Everyone was just twatted all that season.
Danny Simpson, part two went down well. That Ronaldo story.
We can call him Ronnie.
Can we?
You can call him Ronnie.
Yeah.
So fickle, though, isn't she?
Yeah.
Don't like her. No. I think she should be stripped of a Miss California title.
You think? You can go with scissors, like, just cut a ribbon. You've been stripped.
Yeah, so fickle.
I wish I
want to
took it on video.
I want to took
like
that
my schoolboy wee. But you better watch that, wouldn't it?
Tell you what, though, you know, with the old VPN, Miss California could have watched that title-winning season, couldn't she?
Seamless that again, John.
Yeah. I think she's good at getting good. He's getting really good at this, isn't he?
Too good.
Yeah, if you don't know what NordVPN is, sponsoring the episode once again, it's the best.
The best
service in the business.
All your passwords are locked up tight.
They are.
Yeah.
But you can watch anything. You can watch Happy Valley while you've got your feet up.
You like that? On a sun lounger.
Yeah. Yeah, Naked Afraid and all that.
You can get cheaper streaming services as well.
You can. So basically you can bounce your location to anywhere in the world. So if you're on your holidays and you want to watch the match, while you're on the lounger, you can do just bounce your location back to the UK, or alternatively bounce it abroad and get them cheaper streaming services.
Has anybody watched Naked and Afraid apart from that one time?
No.
Anybody only watched Naked and Afraid? It's quite good.
And you can watch it on your lounger with your NordVPN. The link's in the description with a heavy, heavy discount.
Because it is on crappy channels, you know, like 198 and 243. Yeah. So,
but it's worth it.
You can get their newer series is a lot quicker.
There you go. Links in the description. Get yourself involved.
You watch Lego. You watch them building Lego.
I didn't actually realise how much you liked that. And you, Matty. What's it? World Lego Championships or something?
Lego Masters. It's good.
Absolutely shite.
You're saying that, but when we were watching it, where were we, Scotland?
I'll tell you what, make it even better.
You started watching it and you were saying how shite it is.
I'll tell you
and
what.
And then... He's never going to get away with that dinosaur head. He needs to get a move on.
Look at that watch just pull off jumper. Tell you what, make it even better that if they do it barefooted and they just threw Lego all over the floor and the boxes were the other side of the room.
But you and Rose actually religiously watch it, don't you?
Yeah, every week, Wednesday night.
Pathetic.
Pathetic. Does the man who has a wee with his pants around his ankles
for while he's made for you it for fun.
Shall we get Nicky in?
Let's get Nicky in. I've heard about the appeal of a beefer, but I didn't think you'd be opening a bar on the seafront.
In the heart of Ibiza?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, it's sort of ready-made market for it, isn't it? You know, Mars has got that reputation a little bit that folk like to go out and enjoy themselves, so open this place, see how it goes.
They don't believe me like what it used to be like. I mean, it's come back now, isn't it?
Now you've hit the strip.
Yeah, it's changed a bit. Like, I mean, it used to be.
Have you got a vision? I'm going to bring it back to the area.
Yeah. If you build it, they will come. I don't think you'll ever get back to that. Like, but I mean, it used to be round bars. You just have like one drink in every pub, so it'd be pub crawl, wouldn't it, John? You know, you'd be smashing them down next pub. But we hear, like, you know, you get older ending, so they tend to stay in for two or three and talk about old times. Like,
no, it's nice though.
Yeah, it is.
I've been in here a few times.
You went to guest of honour, didn't you?
Guest of honour for opening?
Yeah, they got a real red carpet out, didn't you?
Got local celeb in, you know what I mean?
Still fucking knocked me out of a pint, by the way.
I'm from Barnsley, John. You should know better.
Is it right that they nearly didn't give you a contract initially as a young lad?
Oh, at Barnsley? Yeah. I mean, when I was 16, I didn't get offered YTS. So that was the first time I got binned off by them. So I went to sixth form. Then I started playing it, got it youth team, signed pro, did a couple of years pro, and then I got told I was getting a free transfer. That were Mel Machin. And luckily for me, he got sacked with one game to go.
Were you going otherwise?
Yeah, I were off.
Why? Like, did you just not like it as a player or...?
I don't know, because when I was 18, I got... like pretty close to the first team. I got told I was starting one Saturday when I think I might have been still in the youth team at that time. And I've been training with first team and that and doing well. And then I didn't play that week. And then from then on, for about the next 18 months, he battered me every reserve game, like just on my case. Like, and I didn't know what I'd done wrong. Remember John Dean was there at the time and Dixie were good, like, and he'd try and sort of look after me a little bit. You know, and I asked Dixie one day, I said, what have I done? He says, I've got no idea, just got it in for you. I'm like, you know, I ain't done out really. He says, well, just get your head down, keep playing. You know, there are a few times he's like, proper dug my heart. I think we played Villa away at Villa Park. You know, she always used to play on first team grounds and they'd got a strong team out and I was playing wing back and they got a rapid left wing and a rapid left back. So they kept doubling up on me. To be fair, I was getting a bit of a chasing lark, so I weren't the quickest. And I come in after and I'm just getting in the shower. I've got my towel around me. I'm walking past and Machin stopped me. He says, oh, you know when they went past you and you got the crossing? I'm like, yeah. He said, do you know why that was? So I got a bit squared on and they doubled up on me and I'm struggling. He went, no, son. He went, it's because of this. And he grabbed my tit. And I flinched a bit and he went, and because of this, and he's grabbing my belly and he kept grabbing me and I'm going like, ah, oh, fucking lads are like pissing themselves in the shower, like, I'm going, fuck it. He's going, Dixie, get that fat little fucker on a diet, get him on the scales tomorrow, he's a fucking disgrace. So I always had a little bit of puppy fat, I call it, like, carried it through my career, like, you know, and you know, he used to dig me out all the time, so I was delighted when he got sacked.
Was it that he liked you, do you think, though? Or and he believed in you, he just...
No.
Giving you a kick up the arse?
No.
Because were it free transfer, that were it, you're going?
He told me, like, he got me in office just after Christmas, said, look, you're going to get a free unless you book your ideas up. Then he got me back in probably a couple of months later. He says, oh, you've done really well, been really pleased with you, you know, you've kicked on. So I'm like, oh, sound like... He says, but I'm still going to give you a free. I went, oh, right, cheers, like... So I just carried on playing. You know, you're still playing reserves and that, and you were trying to get line up clubs. I think I'd got like Wigan and Scunny, who were like old fourth division back then. But say, got the sack. Because we played Brentford away with two games to go. And I went on bench because some of the first team lads had chucked injuries in. I come on at half time, did well. He got the sack on Tuesday. Then I think it were Eric Winstanley, really. He got pushed up from the youth team. So he said to chairman, look, just give him another year. So that sort of saved me a little bit. And then on Saturday, I made my home debut against Swindon. They'd already gone up. It was side that Glenn Hoddle had. And I got job of trying to man mark him in midfield, like, you know. So I got
fucking, what did you do?
Were you puppy fat?
Oh, yeah. Trying to fucking belly flop him. But, I got Cruyff that many times. Like, you know, to see a player like that up close, I was like, because he was one of my favourite players growing up, him and Brian Robson, because I'd started as a midfielder. And see him up close, I was like, fucking hell, how good is he? Left foot, right foot, you know, touch. You know, he's trying to get tight to him. He couldn't really run, but he just, unbelievable player, like. So then, yeah, I got another year's pro. And then Viv and Danny come in.
Everyone speaks well about Winstanley, don't they?
Yeah.
Was he legend?
Yeah, I mean, because when Machin come in, I think he wanted to get rid of Eric, I think, anyway. But chairman said he got to keep him, so he moved down to the youth team.
Is the chairman John Dennis?
John Dennis, yeah. So in my first year at youth team, we were like near bottom of the league. Eric took over. We won it 2 years running, Northern Intermediate League against like Newcastle, Sunderland, Leeds, Sheffield Wednesday, were all like top flight clubs back then. So Eric brought me through, and we had a good crop that came through at the same time. So there were a lot of us got pro deals. Then when Viv and Danny took over, they moved Eric back up to the first team. So that's when I moved up with Eric.
You were quite harsh though, wasn't you, Eric?
Oh, like sometimes you just think you were evil. But,
evil.
No, but like, well, I did anyway. I always thought, I know he's making me better because I'm out of running you used to do, you know, but, you know, people go on about like modern coaches, patterns of play and all that. We were doing that at your team and we were like pissing on teams. You know, we played Halifax on Old Queen's ground. It was like February, ankle deep in mud. We 7-0 up at half time. We popped them, like, you know, played really good football. So he comes in at half time and we're like, oh, fucking hell. All like, yeah, fucking well done last night. Eric's fucking slammed door, fucking booted bin, started nailing everybody. You think you're fucking players. If you wouldn't go out and double that score in second half, you're fucking running. So I'm like, fucking hell, like, you know. Went out, we're coming, beat them 12-1. Again, battered them, like. So we're thinking, got away with that, like, might be all right, Eric. Come in, get your fucking flats on. Centre's down, running right late. You know, 12-minuter. So we're running right late, like straight after the game. We gets back up. All Halifax lads are coming out, all showered with toilet bags and that. Like, they've been done 12-1. We're having to do a run, like.
12-1? What have you got to do for not run?
Must have had to get 14 at least. But because we'd not kept a clean sheet and all, like, we had to run. But we had it. I think because Annie, we were making me better. And I was learning so much off him. You just did as you were told back then, like.
Yeah. Because I was saying, you could say Machin was trying to make you better.
Test.
But do you think there's a fine line between how you do
it?
Yeah,
because he got sort of really personal. And he'd, you know, I'd take a bollocking, no problem, because we had enough off Eric, like, you know. But Machin just seemed to be, like, really personal with you. And he'd fucking humiliate you in front of rest of lads. And even some of the lads going, what, have you shagged his daughter or something? I'm like, no, I wish I fucking had, like, you know. You know, I might to give him a reason to. But, you know, it would a bit different that, because, like I say, you'd take a bollocking all day long, you know, you get your head down and fucking, that's how it was back then. You got a bollocking probably before a game, bollocking at half time, and you might get away with not getting a bollocking at full time if you'd played well. So it was part and parcel of it. But now, Machin was a bit different, like, you know, as I say, just seeing personal, because he didn't really do it to anybody else.
Yeah, because if he came and he didn't give you a free, he said, right, I'm going to give you a year, then you kind of think, he's doing that for my benefit.
Yeah.
But if he's just fucked you off anyway.
Yeah.
Got on your case and fucked you off.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm dead laid back, so I just thought, I'll fucking get on with it. I'll go to Wigan, go to Scunny, try and get a deal there, like. But so luckily for me, probably that moment probably defined my career, if you like.
Was it tough under Viv?
It was great under Viv. I loved him because, like, he took all pressure off young lads we got thrown in after about, might have been about 10 games at season gone. You've been squad, and we were struggling. We're down here at bottom, but Viv, like, it were five sides every day, you know. So he weren't really a manager. He was still playing, you know, and he'd join in five sides, and it weren't a fuck about because they were good standard. But I don't know if he knew how to get a grip at dressing room. So I remember one of senior pros nailed me after a game because I'd made a mistake, like, and fucking Viv and Danny just rounded on him, said, fucking leave him alone, said, sort your fucking self out. And I thought, oh, fucking hell, I'll do out for you, I'll run, I'll just do whatever you fucking tell me, like.
It's good, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
When did you start going out? What age?
13.
15. That's old for Barnsley.
It was late starter.
You used to have to pick your pubs, like, you know, what you get served in. I don't know if I should tell you this. I got fucking... My mate took me out. He was 17, I was 15. I got a game for school in the morning. So I was like, well, just go out, just have a couple. So anyway, that age, you're pissed in no time, like. So I'm walking up arcade and I'm like, oh, busting for a piss. So I had to have a piss in shop doorway. What gets to the top of arcade gets the old fucking... coppers, done me, like, fucking, but they're like, what's your name? But just blurted everything out, like, you know. So I had to go to cop shop with my mum on Tuesday, so I got a clip off my mum, like, you know. They just give me a caution, well, not a caution, just warn me, like, so.
And that's how about you being 15?
It's normal in bars, isn't it?
When you got it, first team was the... Especially with some of them players in squad, Jerry Taggart, Chez, pull of the town.
Well, Tags, they were drinking squad. It were Tags, Lee Butler and Brendan O'Connell. And I sort of got, you know, I'm easy led at times.
So, yeah.
So they said, we're taking it at Tuesday Club. We're going out. I was like, yeah, all right, yeah. So I went up to Penistone, up at Legion, because Arthur Wilson had it and they used to look after him and that. And they said, well, go out, we'll have a few, dead steady. Go home, get showered, straight into town. Fucking never met town. Oh, that wanker didn't. Penistone Legion, not Guinness, how I laugh.
That does some bars it, doesn't it? Penistone Legion.
They put me in a cab, sent me home. Then I woke up next morning. So that was my first introduction to... So, see, what a drinking culture back then, you know, at most clubs.
And how old were you have been then, on first trip?
About 20. Because as I said... I was close to breaking into the first team at 18.
You've been drinking out since 15, so you've been out of town.
I know, but they were different level. That were like, I'd say they were Premier League with drinking, like, you know, like unbelievable.
What were he like when he came over, Tags?
Well, he signed from Man City,
yeah,
didn't he?
But I mean, when I say came over, I mean came over to Barnsley.
He seemed to love it, you know, slotted straight in. I mean, I was a young pro at the time. I mean, he'll not be that much older than me, Tags, I don't think, but he was a bloke, you know, at 19, he was a proper man. But he was great, Tags. I mean, he used to organise end-of-season trips, so we'd like give him a fiver a week. So we went to Magaluf 2 years running, and, like, some of that stuff, like, when I said Premier League drinking, fucking hell, he'd just, like, seven, it was a week back then. Oof. Because, like, it was more expensive to go for 4 days, so, like, well, we might as well go for a week. Fucking, that was like an endurance test, you know, because, like, example, me and one of the young lads, we've got there, bags in, shorts on, straight down, we're all on it, obviously gets fucking sunburnt chins and forearms, like, from the sun. Goes out, gets in a bowls in about 6 o'clock, gets up about 12, I'm hanging, like, me and this other young lad, like, I'm struggling here, like, you know, get a couple of cokes. So we sat there at the bar, like, phew. One of the other goalkeepers, Phil White, had come up and says, what you two got? I thought, oh, coke, I'm gasping, Phil. Like, he just got him, just poured them over his heads. He went, 2 pints for these pussies. And I'm going, I can't drink it, Phil, I can't. He's going, get it fucking down you. So we're like, ugh. Went down like a lead balloon, like, but then you air at dog, innit? So that were like, straight back on it, 7 days, because they threatened to kick us out at a hotel after first afternoon. Because I don't know why Tags did it, but he booked in like a nice family hotel. So there's kids in, we're getting steaming over in the corner and that. So managers come over, any more of that, you're out. You know, reps come over, come on lads, he's going to kick you out. Anything else goes off. We're like, we'll calm down. He's going, I'm warning you, Next thing, yeah, like these flip flops. You know, thing they use, pole, big pole to fish people out at pool with. Butts has come running through with that pole vaulted straight into the pool in the middle of these kids. We're like, we best get the flags.
Back our back slaps.
Butts are still going now, you know, every year. Magaluf.
Jeez.
Took the Donny Kitman the year that I met him over there, and he was that pissed. He put him in a wheelie bin and had to wheel him back to the hotel. But, you know, you talk about Premier League drinking.
Yeah. How old is he now?
Probably 50, early 50s.
Well, Butts. Butts must be mid-50s, I would reckon, because I'm 50 now, like, so. Yeah, Butts, Tags, Brendan. Another lad, Phil White, he used to go on, like, fucking three-day benders, you know, turning for training, pissed up, go back on it. You're like, fucking hell, is this what it's... Is this what it's like being a pro?
A week's a long stint.
Yeah.
Oh. I'd rather go to prison for a week than Magaluf for a week.
Yeah.
I really would.
You come back stronger for it though, John, aren't you?
Once you've come round.
Character building.
What was the crack with Andy Imbe? We had a couple of people, this could be bollocks as well, but somebody said, was it when Sinclair scored that?
Over a kick.
I don't know if 97. It was in. I don't know if you were in that game, it was that season. So we got him at FA Cup, like, so we played them really close together. And I think in first game, Steve Davis got his leg broke. John Spencer coming straight legged him. So they're always like a bit niggly, them games. Yeah, Impey were playing on left wing in front of dugout in first half, and he were having one. And to be fair, I was getting dead tight with him. Weren't booting him or out like, but their bench were giving him some stick. And I think I might have dropped a comment in like, we're fucking having one, you pal. So he must have got a volley.
I might have dropped a comment.
So whether
he got a bollock in at half time, so we've come out second half and somebody's laid one across to me. You know what, like, front men and wingers are doing, is it? He's going to clear, they'll come and try and top you, like, or, you know, six studs on you. So I've seen him coming, booted ball, sort of got my foot out of the way so he didn't catch me. And as he's come through, I've like either dropped my knee or something into him, like, gone that. Ref blown up for a foul on me. Just sort of stood up and he's coming bowling over to me. I'm thinking, oh, fucking hell. I ain't done out live. He's just trying to top me. And I'm thinking, you're getting ready for shoving and all that. And all other players are running around. He's just gone, poof. Just have gone, poof. I'm down, like, I'm not playing. Fuck, has he just hit me? So he's got straight red. I think he got something like a 4 or 5 game ban for it. And I'm like, fucking bit of it fucking top.
You think it might have been because of comment?
I don't know whether it wound him up, like, you know, but I'm thinking, ain't none that much, like, fucking hell. Well, like, we got in after, and Danny went, what the fuck were all that about? I went, I don't know, like. He says, weird, smack from fucking from dugout from far side. I says, I caught me, like, you know, fucking went down like a sack of shit. I don't think I'll ever take up boxing, like.
You and Danny Wilson took over, you know, with the drinking schools and going out. He must have been aware of all that with him being a player. Were it something he tried changing or did
no,
he just
not really. I mean,
it?
You know, I think Danny liked to tot at the right time, like, and it weren't, you know, I've been to other clubs since and, you know, you heard about other drinking squads. It weren't that bad, you know. You sort of did it at right time, like after the game. I mean, you heard about lads at other clubs going on, like disappearing on 3 and 4 day benders. You know, there were none of that really.
Because we asked him about it, didn't we? And he was like, as long as they did it on a Saturday, I didn't care.
Yeah. I mean, he pulled me in once because he was getting like, I think he had a couple of letters to the club, a couple of phone calls because I'd been out on a Saturday. And he was just like, just watch what you're doing. You know, I'm like, oh, that sound like, you know.
I think it's, imagine what it'd be like now with social media. Because like, obviously Barnes is very intense in it. Everybody knows everybody, really.
Just takes one tweet.
Yeah.
I mean, tweeting's easy enough, innit? But to sit down and write a letter. Yeah. As well, isn't it? You're going to be a right busy bastard, aren't you?
Yeah.
Get me pad out. I'm going
to... A bit too much, innit? At least it'll put a lot of thought into it, you know. Yeah. Like, you know.
The thing is, though, you were flying, weren't you?
Yeah, well, Danny was like, as long as you keep playing well on a Saturday. So I used to kind of use it. I think, right, I've been out at weekend. Ooh, best train well this week. So that's my excuse anyway for going out.
Is that your best season of your career? The promotion year?
Yeah, yeah. I think I played every game, got into the PFA team at year. That's the only time I managed to do that. Just in a good team and, you know, I was pretty consistent as well that season.
When did you think, you know, like obviously after when Danny got the job, when did you think, I tell you what, we're not bad us? We've got half a chance.
First season we were all right, and I can't remember when we switched to playing like three centre-halves and wing-backs. But it took us about another 12 months to start playing it really well, and teams couldn't cope with it. I mean, I never thought, like, oh, we can get up, because you're up against big clubs, you know, like Bolton and Wolves, Sheffield United. You know, they were all spending big money on players and paying big wages for that time. There weren't really a point when I thought we're going to do it till fucking Clint scored second one against Bradford. And I thought, well, and that was second to last game. You know, you always thought, like, I'm a bit like pessimistic. You always thought something's going to fuck up here, you know, but it never did, and it just kept going. I remember Andy Liddell saying we beat West Brom away on first game at season, and on bus he went, we're going to fucking go up this season. I'm like, shut up, you know.
Was that unlikely?
We'd got tipped for relegation or to being like bottom four on odds by bookies at the start of season. But just a real good blend in that team. You know, bought Paul Wilkinson, experienced, and when Wilco come in, he weren't the best trainer, you know, running in pre-season, you know, he'd just get through it. And I remember that West Brom game, we're going out to warm up, and back in the day you had to warm yourself up, so lads just go out at different times, and Wilco's having a bath reading paper, and I'm going, when you're warming up, Wilco? He says, fucking am. And I'm like, fuck yeah. Has he just come to like
what
see
signed here?
Yeah, I think, has he just come to see out his career like or whatever? And straight from kickoff, he got laid back to me, and you know, kickoff routine, it comes back to me, I smash a big dig, put snow on it for Wilco to flick on. So their centre half's come across ready for it, gets back to me, I've fucking hung it up, Wilco's set off, their centre half's coming steaming, and Wilco's just jumped, buff, splattered his nose, and I thought, yeah, I think we'll be all right. And he just used to fucking put his body on line, you know, so it was lads like him, you know, we've just got a great good blend, you know, experienced lads and young lads, you know, and especially lads that had come through ranks.
Did you enjoy the Premier League year?
Not as much as the promotion year, because it was fucking hard. Every week you're looking at team sheet, and I'm like, even in, we used to get like, there weren't much like scouting, well, there were scouting, but you get a match report before a game, and it just chucked on physio bed. So I'd always go, right, who's left wing? Oh, fuck, he's fast, bollocks. Come and get in Premier League, and you've still got your little three round report, but you knew who you're up against, and you're like, oh, how the fuck am I going to stop him? You know, and it was like, fucking Mark Overmars, quickest thing I've ever seen on two legs. You know what I mean?
Was he the toughest?
I just couldn't cope with him. He was so quick, you know, off mark, of a distance. And I'm like, by the time I'd turned, he's 20 yard past me. And I'm like, for fuck's sake, like. But that season, I think it was probably Ginola, because we got him in cup. The batter does 3-0 at White Hart Lane. And I'm trying to mark him. He's like, must be 6'2", shoulders like that. The pinging goal kicks to him, he's just going like that in my face. Left foot, right foot, go either way, quick, got great sort of balance. I mean, he's rinsed better fullbacks than me, like. So the batter does 3-0. Then we got him in FA Cup pretty soon after that. Drew at White Hart Lane, got him back to Orwell. So you come up against him like four times that year. And
is that the game he scored that goal? It still gets shown now?
That was season after. Don't remind me. Not that goal, because we'd said, like, me and Eddie Moses, Gaffer said to us, you're going to have to double up on Ginola. So I could get tight as I liked. If he was out in behind Eddie, he'd mop up. So we'd cope to him. Then Eddie goes and gets himself sent off. So we've gone to a back four, so I can't get as tight with him. So... And he's out on wing, and I'm like, gets put out to him. I gets out there, fucking slips a little bit, and then that, but he were off just jinking through, and there were bodies flying in everywhere, and he just strolled through and slotted it. Like,
I think so. I don't know if it's like at the start of a TV show or something, but I can just see him picking the ball up and.
Yeah.
Slam. I mean, you just. Yeah, question the sport or something. Yeah. You see you trying to catch him. Well, I think,
you'll just see a number two trying to get back. That would have been a recurring theme in Prem, that. It'd just bit him back in the neck, and I'm going, oh, fuck.
So, whereabouts. Chris. Whereabouts are you here contract wise? So, like, you got in the first team. Did you get a new deal or.
I had to. As I say, you're on about like 150 quid a week playing it first team. And then when I think. When I'd played about 20 or 30 games, I got a new deal. And then I think I end up signing another one to get you sort of, not on as much as experienced lads, but get you up around them.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? When you come through the ranks, you're always miles off it, really.
Because you can go in and say, well, I'm doing the same job as him. I'm like, well, I know, but he's experienced. You know, you've come through ranks, so you can have this much. And I'm never motivated by money. You know, I can remember Danny saying to me, all you got to do is keep playing. Money will come, you know. But I always thought, if you ain't playing well, you ain't going to get a new deal. So you just think, just got to keep playing well.
Mm. Do you know, halfway through that Premier League season, you know, you were saying then about looking at who am I playing this week, who am I playing that week. What's your mindset, what's your mentality then? Are you thinking, might be a step too far for me this? Or are you...
I just knew I had to be at my absolute max to survive, like, and, you know, you weren't like dog shit, but you're thinking, if I'm off it today, I could get eight chasing, you know. So you just had to try and get your sent, well, you'd get yourself up for a game anyway, but you'd just be like, fucking, I've got to deal with him.
Did you ever have an ambition to, I'm going to go on higher, or were it just take it week by week?
Yeah, game by game back then. And you were sort of thinking, if we can just stay in, if we can somehow hang on in there in Prem, you know. But ultimately, we weren't quite good enough as a squad, because as soon as we started losing players, like, you know, we'd not got enough strength in depth.
That Liverpool game?
Yeah. Because after the
suspensions
that,
and
I think we might have won like one or two games after that, because you've got lads with three game suspensions, you're bringing some other lads in, some foreigners who weren't up to it, and that's what killed us in strength in depth that we didn't have.
Who was it that did that article? Hristov, was it?
Yeah, George Hristov.
What was something about the women? Oh, women of Barnsley?
Yeah, all drinking pints and...
The white fellas.
Yeah, they're all ugly.
To be fair, 90%.
Yeah.
90% accurate.
It was just the 10% of his broken English that weren't right.
Did he get some sticky dressing room for it?
Oh, to be fair, I've fetched Barnsley Chronicle and I'm going, fox that. And he's like, right. So I thought, fuck you, like. So I just went straight through the back of him in training.
what were you thinking, you know, like the season? Because we obviously signed Eric Tinkler, Georgie Hristov. What the midfielder called?
Oh, we'd signed Jovo before that. He came in, but there were like Alice Crizan, centre-half. And I think, not a mistake, but they got put in team early on because they're big signings. Mm. And it weren't until we sort of... Two best signings were Daz Barnard, he replaced Neil Thompson at left wing-back. And then when we signed Ashley Ward, he sort of replaced Wilco. And we kind of went back to the team that got us up, and we started competing a bit more then. Because, I mean, you know, there were some games you're looking at foreign lads, and I don't, you know, it's not across the foreign, but they came over, and I'm thinking, you fucking know better than what we've got. Mm. I mean, it's not nobody's fault. Like, you know, you were, I think there weren't much money to spend, so you had to take a punt. You couldn't really go out and sign an established Premier League player because they'd blow our wage structure out at water. You know, you couldn't go and pay a big transfer fee, so I think that'd take a bit of a gamble on foreign lads. But like, you know, you mentioned Georgie Hristov, and he'd come over, and we in about a month, I'm thinking, fucking Lids is better than him. You know, he works his bollocks off at team. Mm. Technically, Hristov's no better than Lids, because Lids could fucking finish, you know.
In terms of calibre of wingmen, I'm guessing Ashley Ward is right up there on a night out.
What you mean for knockdowns?
Yeah, flick-ons and...
But Christmas do again, because I became social captain. So Wardy's come, what are we doing for Christmas do? I'm like, usual, Wardy, you know, back room of a pub, you know, get a couple of strippers on, fancy dress. Nah, we want to go to London or let's go to Dublin. I'm like, nah, fuck that. We'll enjoy it, you'll enjoy it, Wardy. I think he come dressed as Pink Panther. And I just remember we're in nightclub towards end at night, and he come up and he went, one of the best days out I've ever fucking had. So I fucking told you all that. Fuck London.
Fucking London. Quick break. Once again, gentlemen, for our sponsor for this episode and the series, BetMate.
I'm having a bit of a shit to eat me.
How on earth can Chris not have a goalkeeper in his squad and still finish above you?
Why would you put Tom Eaton as your subkeeper when you can have De Gea?
I don't, well, I'll be honest with you, I messed up. I'd be like, I picked my team, and then an hour before kickoff, I was, right, I'll play with it now. I put my suit on, get
Get your game
heads
head
on the game. And then I must have got distracted. And
what is it more important than picking your betmate team?
I know. I'm ashamed of myself.
Sunday dinner is
myself down.
Sex.
But we're going in with a new game this week. Not
it's you all
about.
Over.
They've got a new game on the BetMate app.
Go on.
Predict a league. We're still doing the fantasy. I'm still doing the fantasy.
Yeah,
I'm well into it now, but they've got the new predictor game.
Nah, I'm not one for blowing my own trumpet, but this is what I do come into my own.
Would you say it's your bread and butter?
Yeah.
12 games. Pick the results.
Win. Can't say fairer than that, Chris.
£500 in the pot. Best predictors. Take it away. Fill your pockets.
I might even get myself a steak on Friday for Saturday night, knowing full well that I'm going to be in profit.
So we're in the 3 p.m. kickoffs Saturday. It's a £5 to enter. Winner takes the pot. Obviously, you've got to be over 18. But that's a great thing with BetMate. It's responsible gambling. £2 to £5, you know, maximum bets.
Got to be over 18, and please do gamble responsibly.
It's the live updates. 88 minutes, you could be top of the pile.
Next minute, you get kicked in the teeth.
I think that's what happened with me. As soon as that goal took off Rashford, I think I went from third to 175.
So the link's in the description, and if you put in that UTC5, you get a free fiver, so you could join the Predictor League for nout. Absolutely nout.
Good luck.
So get yourself involved.
I said before about John Henry when he took over. Was he on a hide and nothing, really? I know he said, I think when we had him on the live, he said he might have tried to change things too quickly and whatever, change too much. But following Danny Wilson,
yeah,
must have been hard.
Going from a player into management.
He'd been like, Endo, great in dressing room. You know, he was like dressing room joker, always at joking or taking piss or doing whatever. And in my opinion, he went too far the other way. So strict. And he seemed to, he did want to change, I mean, probably wanted to put his own stamp on the team, but he seemed to like, I know, I think they had an offer from me from, I think, Ipswich, and I think John wanted to accept it, but I think Eric went to see chairman and said, well, what are you going to get to replace him? Because I've not got long left on my deal, I think 18 months, so it weren't a big offer. He says, you're going to have to spend money to replace him. I think he used to row with Chez. I think he wanted rid of Leeds and Eddie Moses. I think Dave Watson got injured. So that were like a big core of lads there that had, you basically run through a brick wall for a club, regardless of who the manager were.
And from his point of view, you'd think he'd want to keep them you lads close because
that's
he
what
knows
I,
that.
Yeah,
him and Chez were close, tight as well before.
And so ran about it earlier, like, he dug me and Chez out before training, threatening to send us in, and we're like, you know, where's that come from?
The thing is, Darren Sheridan could wind fucking anybody up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you know what he's like, so you just laugh it off. But, yeah, I mean, coming down, you say, it probably was on hiding to nothing, because coming down from Prem, then other clubs, we'd always been little old Barnsley, you know, so you were always underdogs, but once you come down from Prem, everybody wanted to beat you. So it was a bit, people
different
raised
mentality.
The, yeah, people raised the game against you, and said team were changing a little bit, so it, a bit of a transitional thing, so it would have been a tough job for anybody, I think.
Didn't he ever scrap with Clint or have a duel with Clint, Marcel?
Aye, in training, because I think Clint ran other team and somebody rolled it into Endo and Clint's gave him a shout to leave it, so he stepped over it and Clint's run off laughing with ball, so Endo set off after him and we're all like, fucking hell, he's got, hey, you little fucking and we're like, oh, fucking hell, like, you know, a bit, because Clint used to wind him up, she used to call him John all the time and he'd go, no, it's fucking gaffer. He go, okay, John. And you could see John's fucking head going, and he go, yeah, that's fine, John. And he's fucking, and you're like, come on, rise above it, like, but his fucking head had gone.
He knows it's going to wind him up, doesn't he?
Like, but that's like a respect level of being the laughing and joker in the squad and then going to manager. From the player's perspective, he's still John, isn't he? And he can have a bit of crap with him, and he's trying his hardest to stamp his authority.
I think one of the reasons Endo might have wanted rid of me and Lids went back to a pre-season trip. I think we were down at Exeter University and you're in halls of residence, it's like a prison cell. So of course you get bored on a night, so something like sneaking out for a beer and that. Then Rome started getting trashed. You know, she come back, fucking mattresses everywhere, your gears everywhere. She's like, fucking hell. Mine and Lids had been done, so we thought it were Endo. So we've gone into his, fucking done his. Like, fuck it, got shower gel, shampoo, all over. Got fire hose, fed that under and turned that fucker on.
So was he manager at this point?
No, he was still playing at this point, but I think it stuck with him. but he's come back it like Ibiza phone party in his bedroom. Might have something to do with it.
How would you play if you were in that situation? Played and then went to be the manager. Would you want the lads that you knew, or would you want get them out and just deal with new players, get to know new players and what have you?
I think I'd go the same way as Endo.
Would you?
Yeah, because I don't think, especially if I used to fuck about all the time.
Yeah. I suppose if you're trying with the lads that you know, but you're getting, okay, John, you're thinking, he's got to go. But I'm gonna get rid of him so I can control the rest of these.
But I think the reason why it worked with Danny is Danny were a totally different character to John Hendry. Mm. Danny were older, well, similar sort of age, but yeah, everybody just got the respect for Danny as...
You won't fuck about with Danny, like.
Yeah. You but know. Whereas Danny weren't in the dressing room
fucking about,
taking the piss out of folk and all that.
Because he were player coach when he came in with him, so they were sort of separate.
Because he's done the same process, hasn't he, Danny Wilson?
As John
as John. But because of the different characters and the respect.
Where one work and one won't.
Yeah.
But he went, like, Danny come from Wednesday, so he's come from a different club, so he didn't know any of us, and we didn't know him. Mm. He just knew him as a player, like, so you got instant respect for him as a player. And hard he trained, and just hard he played as well. Because I've seen, like, playing alongside him, I've seen him get fucking smashed and just get up and get on with it and go and give it and back. Like, you know, he's a hard fucker, Danny.
Mm.
You know, he threatened to break Lid's nose once, like. You know. And Lid could be feisty, and Lid just went, yeah, can tuck it. Like, you know, you say you won't fuck about with Danny.
Is this while he was manager, he said that? Or
yeah, because Lid's had, he'd either drop Lid's from previous game, Lid's come on and scored. Ran past dugout, went like that. So at half time, if you come in, Danny just went, you fucking do that again, so I'll break your fucking nose. And I was like, ooh, he fucking means it.
See, if that's John Hendry, you're like, fuck off, John.
Probably a fucking brawl, like, you know.
So to answer your question, because of our hour, I'd have to go that way.
I can see both, I think. I think the problem was changing too much, probably too quickly.
Yeah.
Because then the lads are like, that's not you.
Yeah.
Just toned down a bit.
He understood he had to, like, distance himself and he couldn't be the laughing and the joker anymore. But as I say, just, I think he went too far and you were, like, trying to be ultra strict and, you know, he seemed to be not picking arguments with players, but there were times you're going, fucking hell, a bit off at top, that, like, you know.
See, the thing is, I know you did get relegated, but you had 38 points, didn't you?
Yeah, because I think we ended up we had three games in a week. I can't remember the order of them, but we had two home games. I think it might have been QPR at home, beat them. Went to Villa on a Tuesday night, and we'd had a good cup run. And Danny said to us, like, Chairman, if you get a result at Villa Park, Chairman's going to take you away for having a good cup run. And we'll be going on Sunday after Southampton game. Anyway, we nicked a 1-0 win at Villa Park. We got battered, but we nicked a goal. And then beat Southampton, I think it might have been 4-3. So we got 9 points in a week. Went to Parma for a few days.
Training?
Yeah, warm weather training. Yeah. I think we won one game out of 10 after that. But that would have to, you know, we had Liverpool won in that as well. Like when we, and as I said, we lost three players for, you know, a few games, and that sort of knocked stuff in at us and killed us off a little bit. But we weren't far off. Once we got them 9 points, you're thinking, fucking hell, we could be back in it. Yeah, we, you know, we've got a chance. But
is that Palmer that's a 9-iron from Magaluf?
Yeah. but it's a lovely, like, it's got, like, nice cathedral and that, you know, and some museums.
9-iron. So that Liverpool game, it was just fucking chaos, weren't it?
Yeah.
Were you involved at all in...
Not the sendings off, but, you know, we're playing. Obviously, Moore's got sent off first for elbowing Michael Owen, which, you know, weren't really, because he was that small. Morgs had just caught him, so he got sent off. Then Daz Barnard clipped somebody's ankles and the rule had come in, if you, last man, he got sent off. So we're down to 9 men. We played, I think we're 2 apiece. And I can't remember, when did Fan come on pitch? What time were that? I can't remember what score was. But it would have to, either second sending off or it would have to, when Chez got sent off.
Did Chez do Redknapp or something?
Yeah, he meant to do wins because they'd been at it all game. And so when they've scored, made it 3-2, scored winner late on, Ince is up at Shez, like, Redknapp's come across to split it up. Shez has swung for him, missed Ince, and just gone both straight in Redknapp's chops. So he got a red.
I'm sure it's not Jamie's crack, that, is it? No, oh, no.
But I can remember the fan come running on
pitch.
I can
see the picture.
And I'm like, I think, we're going over to have a go at linesman or something. And I see this bloke running on, I'm thinking, I fucking recognise him. And I'm thinking, fucking hell, he played in school team. Like with me, a lad called Jad.
Hi, Dave.
A lad called Jad. And I'm like, going across, I went, hey, help, Jad, what are you doing? And he's going, I'm going to fucking kill that. And he's gone steering past, and Jan Agafjortos rugby tackled him.
Did he want the ref?
He was trying to get the ref, yeah. That guy would be loud.
All right, Jad.
Yeah. Just think, he fucking used to playing goals for school. Then.
I can remember, I can see the picture.
Yeah. Yeah, but that, I think how it happened, you know, conceding a late equal, late winner to them, because we'd competed. I mean, we ended up playing like, you know, you'd think if you're down to 9 men, you're going to be like four at back and leave one up top. We were 3-3-2. I'm like, let them have it out wide, and you know, and we'll just try and catch them on counter. We had a couple of chances, like, but I said, then they got that late winner, so that knocked stuffing out of you. Then, you know, fuss surrounding 3 sendings off, and then obviously knock on effect to get in suspensions. And you know, so we didn't have enough strength in depth to compete. Like I said, I think we won about one game out of 10 after that.
When it came to leaving Barnsley, were it we offered another contract.
Yeah, but it was dependent on Dave Bassett were in charge, and Harry were brilliant with me. So they're always dead up front, and I've come to enemy contract, and we're up and out playoffs, and money I were asking for. He says, our chairman said he'll never pay you that while he's chairman. And I went, well, he's paying fucking plenty others, bearing a man out captain as well. I was playing every week.
What was the difference, like, in terms of what you were asking for to the top earner, roughly?
I said probably, I don't know, we in 10 or 15% at top earner. Like I say, what, captain playing every week.
What you deserve in relation to everybody else.
That's what, and Harry's saying, I'm battling for you. If he turned around, he said, if we get promoted, you can have it. I went, if we get fucking promoted, I want more than that. You know what I mean? He went, yeah, fair enough. but anyway, we didn't, we got beat by Ipswich in playoff final, and that was my last game for Barnsley. I said to Harry, if we don't get up, I'm leaving, because you felt like, you know, again, you got treated like, not part of furniture, but as a local lad, I mean, you'll know, Johnny, it was weird at Barnsley, because if you were a local lad, like other clubs I've been to, if you're a local lad and come through ranks, you're like fucking up there, you know, you're like, fans love you. Fucking total opposite at Barnsley. Like, so...
You get the most state.
Yeah.
Did you have any regret to leaving, you know, when you went to Birmingham? Was there any point where you thought homesick or...
No.
Nothing like that?
No. I could see, because I'd spoke to Harry, and I think we knew Iggy were leaving. So I'm thinking, fucking, there's 20 goals a season gone. Who are we going to replace Craig Ignat with? I think John Curtis were leaving, and I'd had a good partnership with Curtis, playing right back and our right midfield. And so I thought, well, who's going to replace him? And he came up with a couple of names, and I went... Harry, they're fucking bang average. He went, I know, but that's all I'm going to... I said, we ain't going to be up there then, are we? He said, no, doubt it. I went, right, that's it. I'm gone, like. Got 3 or 4 clubs after me, all champ clubs. And obviously, parachute money had run out from Prem, except like 3 years later. So you're thinking, well, they ain't going to fucking invest. There ain't going to be big signings coming in. And I wanted to get promoted again. And I thought, I'm not going to do it at Barnsley. So I'd got Birmingham, Bolton, Chef Wednesday, and Huddersfield.
Would you come Wednesday?
No.
Chef Wednesday?
No. I didn't really want to play for a local club. I fancied just getting away and experiencing something different. I mean, if a London club had come in for me, I'd probably gone to London. You know, maybe Charlton or somebody like that, but it never come about.
That'd have not been your fucking cup of tea.
Well, I'd have dropped in with
them,
Johnny.
With them fucking prices.
Down the smokes, son. The slot straight in. But I just ended up picking Birmingham, and I really enjoyed it at Birmingham. You know, it were it's a big club, but it got you know, it's obviously a big rivalry with Birmingham Villa, and Villa think they're above Birmingham. So Birmingham fans have got like a similar attitude to Barnsley fans. You know, if you work your nuts off, they're having you. So I was all right when I went there in first season.
Signed the same day as Jeff?
Yeah, me and Danny Sonner, Mara Sonner, us three. So we're all in a hotel together. First month.
For a month?
Yeah.
How was the puppy fat?
I struggled to get it down. That's how I got my nickname down at Birmingham, because first day, you know, you're getting stripped for training and that. And I think it was Martin Granger who went, fucking hell, somebody's had a good summer. And I've looked down thinking, I'm fucking pretty good shape here. And we ended up, you know, nicknamed me Chunk off Goonies, because I've given it the old truffle shuffle. Fucking
truffle shuffle.
Yeah. Just at this, I think I'm stood on bench with just my slip on going, fucking Trevor Francis walked out.
Breathe it in.
Yeah.
Pull the slug. Yeah.
Fucking kidney warmers. So
was your nickname Booner? Have you ever had Booner?
That was at Barnsley. Yeah, because most, obviously, you'd go out Saturday night. This is how I got that nickname. Go into nightclub, Japanese Whispers. Come out, there was a little curry shop.
K2
tucked away. And I used to go in and I'd have chicken boner every Saturday. Like, you'd be coppering up, like, fucking, can I get a cab or a boner? Fuck it, I'll have a boner and work on. And you'd come in Monday morning, you'd be like, I mean, I probably had a few on Sunday as well, like, Sunday dinner, but. Like, lads would be going, fucking hell, what are you been? I'm like, oh, chicken boner. So that stuck at Barsley for a bit.
By the way, this K2 is the fucking most horrid kebab shop you've ever seen. Stand up boxing chip, please. Can I pet, please?
Yeah,
chicken boner. It's a kebab house that doubles up as an Indian as well.
Yeah, yeah.
They're never the best, them, are they?
Yeah. Still going.
Health and safety, shut it. I've seen people pissing in bin in corner. And the guy behind the counter's not said a word. Stand in the box and chips, please. Yeah. And he's just stood there like having a piss. Like regular. It was filth, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What was Francis like? We've heard very mixed reports, haven't we?
Trevor signed me and I got on fine with him. He was just, he could be a bit strange at times.
Didn't like confrontation?
No. He'd chop and change a lot. He'd just go out and accumulate players. So biggest difference for me going there were like the size of the squad. So you got a lot of lads who have been signed for money, then he'd bin them off. So you got like a little bit of a twisted squad, which you have at a lot of clubs like. But we were all right. So I think as players, you manage them yourself, because you'd be like, oh, fuck, he ain't going to help me. You know, fuck him if he's not playing, like, I ain't bothered about him. But yeah, Trevor could be a bit strange. I think a bit aloof as well. But I always got on well with him, and all I was concerned about, I think that first season I was there, I played like 58 games, because we had a good cup running, got to the League Cup final. So all I bothered about, he's fucking picking me every week. I've got no problem with him. Yeah.
Were he chopping and changing because he weren't confident in what he was doing?
It was just one of them, you know, if somebody had a bad game or you got beat, he felt like he'd have to change stuff. I mean, like one quarter, this was before I got there, because we played him in playoff semis and went down to St Andrews, and this one I'm still at Barnsley, they beat us 3-1 in league in about April, and they bullied us. So we changed system, we went to a back three, and we were used to that because a lot of us had played it. We were 1-0 up at half time and they couldn't get ball off us. And I think when I moved to Birmingham, lads said at half time, he came in and he said, right lads, I'm going to get you back in the game. We're going to match them up, we're going 3-5-2. They were all over the place saying, nah, we've ended up winning 4-0. So that were it, that were them out.
Like,
we played second leg, like, and I think we got beat 2-1, but you're already through. And he was a bit like that, because he'd been in Italy. I'd seen him make quotes like, it's like a game of chess. And I'm like, fucking hell, not away at fucking Grimsby. On a Tuesday night, it's not. Fucking get wired in and fucking, you know. So I think he thought, again, level he'd played that. I mean, he used to join in training. He was fucking unbelievable. Cleanest striker of a ball I've ever seen, like, you know, and touch and everything. And I remember doing free kicks, practising. And I'm trying to get him up and down over the wall and, you know, he'd just go in over and you're not far off, but you're not, you know, you couldn't get the dip on it. He went, what are you doing? And he just rolled the ball out of his feet. He just went, fucking fizzed it of at wall, top bin. He went, why don't you just do that? And I went, if I could do that, Gaff, I don't be at fucking Burnley. You know? And he, but he didn't see, he was thinking, well, just do that. And I'm like, fucking hell, you sure? So I think he obviously played at top international, played in Italy. And I think he, I say, we're a bit aloof and obviously what a better player than any of us were. I mean, I used to go to odd game when he was still playing at Sheffield Wednesday when he was like 40, coming on as sub and getting the amount of assists and goals he got. Like, it's just unbelievable player. But he didn't really have that connection with lads. You know, you couldn't have banter with him really, which I think a lot of lads sort of didn't like about him.
Was the dressing room a lot different to Barnsley? You know, that tight-knit?
Yeah, I think, you know, Barnsley, a lot of us have been together for a long time. Again, you went to Birmingham, they spent big money on a lot of them players there, and I say you got that bitter and twisted squad, so it weren't as together as the Barnsley squad. There weren't as much coaching went off, and when I went down, I'd been there about a month, and I said, they've been at playoffs like 4 or 5 years running. And I said, fucking, I can see why you fucking never got promoted. And you should have, which squad they had like. Mm. There weren't enough work went off on training ground for me compared to what I'd had at Barnsley. I think I was spoiled at Barnsley. And I thought every club did that, you know, at work that Eric did and Danny. But it weren't. It was sort of like pick a team, you're good players, go out and play. So when we were good, we were good. But when it were going tits up, you'd know what to fall back on, if you know what I mean. Your organisation and that weren't the same as at Barnsley.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Asley.
Did it change when Bruce came in? You know, he said about the coach and work on the training ground.
Yeah, he brought Mark Bowen in, who were good. I won't say there were loads more tactical stuff. Bruce, he was like a motivator and a man manager, really.
So he never took the coaching?
Bruce, he didn't do much coaching there.
Did you like him?
I thought I would have, because he tried to sign me when he was at Huddersfield. And I can remember Eric ringing me up. He says, oh, he'd be all right with Brucey. Because Brucey had rung Eric about me to get, you know, on my character when he wanted to take me to Huddersfield. He says, oh, he fucking loves you. Fucking hell. He come in, bombed me out after about 2 or 3 games, right on my case in first 2 or 3 games. I'm thinking, I'm fucking playing well here, you know, and just on my case. And so I used to row with Brucey quite a lot because I weren't playing. And I was never happy when I weren't playing, which I suppose everybody will say that, but, you know, there are some lads who don't give a fuck whether they play or not, but I was fuming, like. So I used to go in and see him, just to pick a row with him after a bit. and I think one week I must have gone, I went to see him on Monday and said, you know, why aren't I playing? You know, didn't play me Saturday, like, we were shit as well, like, you know, should hope I'm in fucking team. Nah, fucking, you don't do this. And I'm like, fuck off. So I have a row with him. So I went to not Tuesday. I want to know why I weren't playing. I went, have I fucking told you that yesterday? I'm like, yeah, but a load of bollocks, weren't it? So I'm seeing if you've got hotels. You know? You do shape on a Thursday, weren't in team, so I'm going out Thursday. I want to know why I'm not in team. Well, I fucking told you. I know, but it's a load of bollocks. He's like, fuck off. But it says, I'd always be on bench, and if we're struggling or we're trying to hold on to a lead, he'd go, fucking come on, son, get yourself on. We've got nobody on there that can keep ball. Go and keep ball for us. I'm like, why'd you keep playing if they can't keep ball for you? He's like, fuck off, just get on and fucking, you know.
Who was he playing?
He brought Paul Devlin in, and they'd been big drinking buddies when they were at Birmingham together, you know. I don't know, not against Dev, like, you know. I'm thinking, well, he's got my place, like, so I've got to fight my own corner. So I'd go in and I'd said to Bruce, and I'd go, well, I'll get more crosses in than Dev. Nah, you fucking won't. I'm going, well, I will. I'm going, and he's more of a winger, and I'd be better defensively. Nah, you fucking won't. I'm going, well, that's fucking bollocks. Like. I said, no, against Dev, like, you know, we play charity games. Nah, you know, fucking great lad. but I wanted to be in team, you know, and I weren't fucking stitching anybody. I weren't like slaughtering him or out like that. You're just trying to fucking fight your own corner. And it come back, and I said to him once, I said, do you know what, Gaffer? I said, it's because I didn't fucking sign for you at Huddersfield, innit? You got the ump. Nah, fuck off, like that. So it come to end of season, and he dropped me for playoff final against Norwich. So we've gone in, I took myself in into a shower, I'm reading the programme, he's coming, and he's gone like, hey, son. I just went, fuck off, you know, so I don't want to speak to you. Got promoted, had like the open top bus tour, and we had a do at St Andrews, and goes open top bus tour, do we later on, she had a few hours to kill. So I'm in Birmingham thinking, well, what are we going to do? So,
boner.
She's like, let's go to a bar or something. So we get to the club, we're fucking steaming, like, you know, and over at the bar with Tommy Mooney, and Brucey come up like, and I'd still got the fucking hump, like, and he said, he made some sort, it wasn't a sarcastic comment, but it was something like, see, I fucking told you we'd do it, even without you. And I went, if you'd had me team, you cunt, we'd have gone straight up and did it fucking class. And I went, anyway, fuck off. And he's going, you fucking what? And I just went, I'll tell you what, I said, I've fucking had enough of you. I went outside. He went, you fucking what? I said, you heard me. And I just got fucking Big Daz, Shez, his immortal words, let's fucking sort it out on the cobbles. I says, come on, in car park, me and you. He went, you're fucking joking. I went, no, I'm fucking not. I said, fucking not. I says, come on, outside. And he went, Moons, sort your fucking mate out, will you? Fucking calm him down. So I'm like, ah, oh, fuck off. So we've had like a bit of a row on that.
This is the promotion, dude.
Yeah.
Outside on cobbles.
So they'd said to us day after on the whatever day it was, he were having like a private one at this nice country pub. Compulsory, but everybody's got to go. And I'm thinking, I don't want to fucking go. I had a row with him, like, you know. It was for all wives and that. So I said to Mrs. Lass, we'll have to go. Like, I'll sit in the corner, I'll keep out of his way. And really, no fucker turned up. So I've walked in, there's like Bruce and his missus, couple of other couples, but hardly anybody turned up. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So I'm like, all right, gaffer, I'll apologise for last night. I shouldn't have fucking offered you out and that, like, you know. So, he went, don't worry about it, like, you know. But then later on, so we've had so much to eat, and then I'm in there, I'm having a, gone it toss, I'm having a piss, and he come in. He starts having a piss, and I said, oh, cheers for today, gaffer, like, appreciate it, like, you know, taking us out and that. Ah, don't worry. And then he went, you were right though, son. I says, what about? He says, I did get the hump with you, because you didn't sign for me at Huddersfield. I went, you fucking wanker. I said, fucking wasted, fucking front of how many months of my career, fucking sat on fucking bench.
That's right.
No. So then obviously we'd gone up, and I thought, well, I weren't playing for him in champ. I ain't definitely going to play in Prem. So I said to him, I want to leave, like, you know, to play. Didn't want to leave the club. You know, we'd settled in Erin and that, and love playing down there, but I thought, I can't sit on bench. And Bruce was like, nah, stay. Love having you around training, like, you know, you're good in training. I'm like, I don't get paid to train, gaffer, like, I want to play. So I think it was about September, Wigan come in for a month's loan, and I thought, yeah, I'll just go and play.
What league were they in?
They were League One at the time, but they were going for it, you know, Dave Whelan. You know, they had a good start. As soon as I went there, played about 4 to 5 games, and I'm like, fucking hell, like, we, you know, Andy Little were there. I says, is this what level's like? He went, yeah. He says, well, piss it. So I thought, right, fuck it, I'll get myself off. And I mean, ITV Digital had collapsed at that time, so I took a pay cut to go there. But I thought, fuck it, I want to play.
What age are you here?
I was 30. So again, you're thinking, you know, not times against you, but as soon as you get to 30, you're like, fucking hell, how long have I got left?
Ticking.
So went there. First season, I think we pissed it, 100 points or something, and 100 goals. And then you thought, we'll just see how we go in champ, you know, and then we kicked on again.
I remember thinking they could go and go again. You know, when you were in League One?
Yeah.
Squad was that good?
Yeah. Well, we just, I think on last day of season, we drew with West Ham, I think, at JJB, and that dropped us out at playoff places. But we were up there all season, like, and we were strong, we were organised, we were fit.
The thing is, it's even more impressive with Jimmy in front of you, because you wouldn't have been getting much
promotion. Right, a number of times you wanted to fucking throttle him, because you'd be like, whoever played midfield, when like, at one point with Tony Dinning, then they were like Jason Jarrett.
Cav?
The Cav were late on. I don't think he saw the full thing of Jimmy fucking doing what he wanted.
So like, Jimmy Ballard.
Yeah.
We'd be defending, you know, fucking bodies on the line and that, like, you know, midfield runners coming through, like, fucking John Fowler's catch it. He'd be throwing it out to Jimmy, who's having eight dugouts fucking on the break. You know, like, fucking, your fucking man's in here. But it just, I mean, Jimmy, it was good, Jimmy, you know, so much fucking energy and that, like, but like I said, we did have to be organised. We ain't playing in front of you.
So, were you like a luxury player then, really?
A little bit, but. Defensive side, yeah, but you knew, I mean, it'd just be forever, just fucking high energy, just getting on the ball all the time. So when you're in possession, you were fucking great, like, you know, and he'd get forward, make things happen and that. And I said, just a bundle of fucking energy. Just didn't put much energy into chasing back.
Did he ever get too much?
At times. Never in a malicious way. We're always fucking, we're good fun, Jimmy. I fucking had some good crack with him.
You must have a couple of stories on him.
Well, again, at a time when he got a bit too much on Christmas do, and I'm sure there's been another story on this, but this was that happened later in the night. This was when we're in pub. So I said, I'd organised strippers from Barnsley. So they've come up to Wigan. And I must admit, when they first walked in, they're not dolled up. Let's put it, they're experienced strippers.
It's right what Georgia Ristov says. Yeah.
So Jimmy's like, they're fucking minging, they're fine. I'm like, look, fucking wait till then. So he were big mates with Mark Flynn, who was Walsall manager now. Him and Flynn were thick as thieves because they were one of the two that used to live in Wigan. Everybody else were outside. So them two's on my case, like, fucking minging, them like, going, fuck off. Like, wait till you've seen them. Once they've done their act, they're like, they're fucking brilliant. You know, I fucking told you. But it kept going on and on. And eventually I'm thinking, I've fucking had it. I'm going, Jimmy, just fuck off. I've had enough of you now. Like, he's going, ah, shut up, you fat cunt. Like, fucking, So I've ended up thinking, right. So I've gone. I forget, what he's dressed as a gimp or something. Our Elvis. So I've gone up. I said, fuck. I weren't going to smack him out, but I've fucking picked him up. And he was a strong little fucker for bearing my nice skinny wear. So he's wriggling about and I've ended up fucking on the table, there's glasses everywhere, fucking jump back. Flynn has jumped on me back to get me off. He's Spider-Man. So then Neil Roberts, I think, he was Batman, he's jumped on Spider-Man's back. And then Stud, Steve McMillan, he's come up, he were Gladiator. So you've got Elvis trying to strangle a gimp with fucking Spider-Man trying to
strangle Elvis.
With Batman smacking Spider-Man. With Gladiator twatting fucking somebody else off at head. But that, you know.
You can just imagine the bar staff, can't you? Like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, no, she put her head round. She must have like seen this fucking pile of bodies with fancy dress costumes. Like, what the fuck is happening here?
I wonder if they're still working, the two chicken
dippers. Could well be on veteran circuit, like, you know what I mean?
Get them in here Sunday after under the cost special.
So did you get the entertainments officer badge at Wigan?
Aye, only for Christmas do, because obviously Lids were still there, and again lads were on about going to Dublin and all that, and fuck that, Lizzie win. She'll get them dippers. I'm like, yeah, I'd met Birmingham, you know.
Did you take the girls to Birmingham as well?
I had to come down to Birmingham, yeah.
You got him a few loan deals.
Gone to Wigan, yeah.
So in best case scenario, just fly him over to Dublin.
Yeah, I know.
Got a boost over there.
Knox Forest never put a bid in for him, like. You
know. To be fair, though, I bet everybody who ever watched them have enjoyed the show.
They were consummate professionals.
How good were he, Jewel, you know, for them double promotions? What were his secret with that squad?
He just drove you on every day, never just on you. Not in a bad way, because he was grumpy fucker, like, you know, and he was aggressive. I had a couple of, not rows with him, but I can remember, you know, every now and again he'd get in office for a chat. He'd do it with all lads. And he was chatting to me about something, and Nathan Ellington, he'd not scored for about six games on bounce. And it was just talking about team and that. And I said, like, mentioned about Duke. I said, fuck it. Because it didn't give much out of possession. And if he didn't score, it weren't like, you know, ball would just keep coming back at you. I'm like, fucking Duke's struggling, like, you know, you're not fancy fucking dropping him. He's going, no, I've got to stick with him. And to be fair, he went on a run after that. But I kind of said to him, like, I said, well, fuck me, gaffer. I says, nearly every half time you come for me. Like, and there'd be times I'd be like thinking, I'm fucking playing well here, like, you know, and he'd come for me. And like I said before, you take a bollocking. I says, it's fucking most weeks, like. He said, well, yeah, he says, I come for you because I can. I'm like, what do you mean? He says, well, if I go for Duke, he says, he'll fucking go under. He says, if I go for him, he'll go under. He says, so I'll just give it you. He says, because I know you'll just take it and get on with it. But it shows other lads that I'm not fucking happy. I'm like, ah, oh, fucking shit.
He's just letting me know that this is going off or what?
Yeah.
I'm going home fucking depressed on a Saturday night. I've been shit.
Overall, I got on great with him. And that my overriding thought of him, that, like, fucking hell, he's just fucking on you. Never gives you a minute, like, in training and in games. Just on you, just drove you on.
Do you think, like, him being old school and that, that's why he will never get a job again?
I think that... I've bumped into him, I've spoke to him since, you know, he went to Derby. And obviously a lot of big hitters on big money there, like, you know, likes of Sav and that. You know, we got paid all right money, like good money at Wigan for the level and that, but it weren't the Prem level. But I think how he was, if you got some lad who had got enough dough not to give a fuck, I think he'd rub him up the wrong way, and he could probably, not saying he couldn't handle him, but if they decided, bollocks to you, like, I think he might struggle with that. And I think that's maybe what he come up against at Derby.
Did you take it on chin once he told you why he's bollocking you every week?
Well, he used to take it on chin anyway, but, you know, after I thought, all right, fair enough. You know, there were about two or three of us that he says, I know, like Jacko as well. He says, I know I can come for you two, like, you know, a lot of others.
Take it like a man.
Well, he's used to fucking...
I think I'd have used that to my advantage. I'd have popped back. And then if he says to me, I'm only doing it just for the lads here. You know what I mean? Just so the lads know that they can have a go at you. And air the feelings.
Yeah.
So were you 33 when you went to Forest?
Yeah, again, Jagger looked after me, really, because I was coming up out of contract at Wigan, and we were up there, you know, top two or three, and I thought, yeah, we're going to fucking get up here, like, because he'd signed Jace Roberts, and he was a massive signing for us. And he got me in about February, and he said, I'm going to stick another year on your deal. And he didn't have to, you know, he says, but so I'm just telling you, if we don't get up, we'll just carry on, you'll still play. If we get up, I'll be going out signing players, but I want to look after you. You've done well for me. I was like, yeah, fair enough. And then in summer, we'd gone up, and he rung me. I think it was Ryan Taylor from Tranmere. We eventually went to Newcastle. Chimbonda, he signed them two. He says, and he rung me, he says, you're not going to play. I said, well, I know that, like, now. I got no problem with it, because I thought at 33...
That's a totally different mindset then, isn't it? If that happens at 26, you're like, fucking half raging.
Yeah.
But still look after you, though. I think that's what he's done's good. You know, giving you the year, and he didn't have to do that,
well,
did
he? Didn't have to. He could have just let me see my contract out and bin me off, like. But, yeah, I was, like, stuck with me that, like. I thought, you know, he's looked after me there. And then he rang me, someone said... Forest have come in for Brex. They're going to pay money for Ian Brecking. He said, do you fancy it? He said, I'll chuck your name into Mego. And I thought, they'd just got relegated from Champ. So I thought, I looked at it a bit like going to Wigan. I thought, well, they'll still have money. They'll have a good squad there. So I thought, if I can go there, he says, you'll probably get a couple of years deal. So I thought, well, fucking hell, you could go there, get another promotion from League One, and then just see where you go. So he chucked my name into Mego and then rang me back. He says, yeah, he wants you. And he says, what I don't want is to be, because I was still living in Birmingham at the time. He said, I don't want you all driving up M6. He said, I know what you're like. You'll be fucking raging if you're not playing. He says, so I think it's probably best all around. So I went, yeah, sound. Went and signed for Forest.
I like Joe. That's the best bit of stuff I've heard on him. Doing stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I could understand if you got a player on here and they slaughtered him, Because if when I went into Wigan, there were two or three lads he wanted out, lads who'd been signed previous, and they were there for the money. They were disruptive. They were poison. And I could see, you know, he fucking row with them and he got them out pretty quick. So I, if you're one of them players, you probably won't be very complimentary about him. But
he's tough to you.
Yeah, and so you just sort of, because all you're bothered about, we're doing your job. And I thought, well, he's getting us organised. We're winning games. So I'm playing, so I'm happy.
Talking of mixed reviews, Gary Megson has divided opinion, hasn't he?
I was just going to say, with what you've said with Steve Bruce and Jewel, that you've no apprehension about biting back. I can't imagine it with the best fit.
Jagger spoke really highly of Mego, and I'd, you know, played against his West Brom teams when we were at Birmingham, when he'd got like Sir Darren Moore and Andy Johnson playing. They were, when they got promoted, they were a big, strong outfit, like. And Jagger were like, he's a really good coach. So I thought, and he kind of knew we were going to go into Forest and try and sort it out. But again, you went into Forest, again, massive squad, because they'd signed loads of players. So massive poison element to it. I think he signed about 12 players in that summer. We went away on pre-season. So he'd fall out with players for fun. And I say he signed 12 of us in pre-season. I think he'd fell out with about 9 of them by end of pre-season. And I'm like, fucking hell.
Over is that what? It then? Are you fucked off as well?
Oh, if you
have if you've fallen out with him, is the...
I hadn't fallen out.
No, but if you do, oh, is it hard to get back?
Yeah, because I'm... One of the things that stuck with me, before the first game, we trained on Friday. We've done a bit of shape set plays and that. And he says, right, starting 11 over here with me, rest you with other coaches. And he got us together, like, and he says, right, you're my starting 11. You're the ones that are going to get us results, you know. Not them cunts over there. I'm like, never really heard this before. Like, you know. And I'm thinking, it's a squad game, surely, like, you know. So about 2 weeks later, he's made about 3 changes. You're my starting 11. You're the ones that's going to get me results. Not them cunts over there. And these 3 lads have come in. And I'm like, yeah, he said that 2 weeks ago. You're one of them cunts over there. So he was so like aggressive and like fucking.
But it's like, he's obviously been in the game that long. Surely he knows that that's. He's trying to compliment you in a way, but he surely knows that that's going to get back.
Yeah, and you're thinking like, well, if I'm not in that start 11, someone says, get me start 11 together, and you're walking off, you're like, I'm one of the cunts. So you're like, there weren't much team spirit there. It was, like I said, I'd great team spirit at Barnsley, like real togetherness, good team spirit at Birmingham amongst the lads that were playing week in, week out. Wigan, great team spirit and a real togetherness. Forest, fucking total opposite. It was like every man for himself at times. Listen, I was struggling. I think my legs were going. But bearing in mind, I'd just come from that Wigan team and I was playing well. You know, I weren't getting fucking overrun. Physically, I felt good. You know, I'm thinking, I've just got promoted to Prem. I'm looking around the squad and I'm thinking, all Forest players have been relegated from Champ. A lot of his signings have been come from other relegated clubs. And I'm thinking, these have all got relegations on the CV. I aren't, you know, but I'm one that's struggling because I'm getting ball and all you see is fucking numbers running away. It were like fucking playing with Scarlet Pimpernel. You know, you're trying to find people, like, where the fuck is it? Like, it's like, just pop out behind somebody. It's like I said, I've been at them 3 clubs and everything had been about like team spirit and togetherness and I saw what it got you. You know, I got promoted to all them 3 clubs from Champ and I went there and I'm thinking, what the fuck is this place? Great club, fucking brilliant. The best club I've been at for looking in terms of looking after players. Anything you want is you just fucking got. You got looked after, you know.
You think that were a bit of the problem though?
I think it could have been like, you know, I think Mego tried to maybe change that a little bit. But I think Mego definitely didn't help the situation. I mean, one of the things he did, he said, right, you fuckers aren't getting a day off until you get me 3 points. We ended up being in like 24 days on top and you're coming on Sunday. So you drive up, you get out, you'd walk down Trent, walk back and go, right, get yourselves off, lad. I'm like, what's the fucking point in that? So after a couple of weeks, I think we were winning. And then we conceded a late equaliser. I'm like, fuck, we're in tomorrow. Like, you know, fucking, I've had enough of this shit. So I've gone, like, we're not Sunday. I'm like, Gaffer in? I says, car weren't there. Yeah. Oh, I need to see him. Oh, no, he's not having any meetings today. I went, no, I need to see him really fucking urgently. Like, something's gone off. No, you can't see him today, like, because he weren't in.
And you knew fucking full well he weren't in.
So they got us, his two coaches, he didn't come down to training ground one day. And lads were mourning like fuck. I mean, I've even heard one of the lads, as we were walking down Trent, one of the lads were experienced. He says, you know what we should do? We should throw a game on Saturday. And I've started laughing. I'm like, I think he's bantering. Like, I've said, well, fuck me, we're doing a good enough job at minute, like, between us. He went, no, we should fucking throw it. I'm like, you're fucking winding me up. I'm like, you're fucking serious, aren't you? I said, you'll go on pitch. He went, yeah, it's been done before. I'm like, not wherever I've fucking been, it on, like, you know. I'm like, oh, fucking hell, what? Where
for
am
what
I?
End? Like, to get rid of
to,
him?
To get, so I'd get sacked. And I'm like, fuck, I said, you couldn't fucking look in the mirror, like, do you know what I mean? I'm like going, fuck off, mate. So lads are going, oh, we've got to say something, we've got to say something. So it comes down to experience, lads, done it in dressing room. So it didn't come down to training. And I think it was Frank Barlow and Alan Crawford. I said, listen, lads, you know, come on, we need to sort this out, you know. Let's have a chat. What's your thoughts? Anyway, nobody said out. And they're going, you know, come on. It's not going to get back to Gaffer. So stupidly, I believed them.
You're 34, you know.
But I just think, right. So I've sat up going, well, fuck me. I says, we're in every fucking day, like Sundays, for note. I said, like, what? I says, if we're going to come in, why don't we do something? Why don't we do some shape? I says, because we do fuck all shape. So I set off on a fucking rant. Like, I'm going, in my head, I'm thinking, I want to make things better here because, you know, I don't want to be in mid-table. You know, I want to be trying to get promoted. So I'm like, you know, why don't we work on stuff? You know, we don't fucking do it in training. We've got no shape. He changed fucking to a back five at one point and just expected lads to adapt. Did no fucking work on it. Because he tried nailing me after a game. We played Huddersfield and gets beat. I got the hook after about 60 minutes and went video on Monday morning. And he's going, fucking you, it's your fucking winger that scored. And I'm like, so I'm going, oh, go on then, run it back, Gaffer. So I'm going through, I'm going, well, he's running side, you know, I've passed him on, fucking, nobody said out to me, fucking, going on about it tactically and that. And I said, but look at your back three. I said, you fucking chuck a blanket over them. There's like, fucking, so narrow. I said, how the fuck are we going to defend like that? Well, it's your left winger that scored. I went, well, yeah, but I says, I've played in the back five before. I says, that ball should be straight down centre half throat because he should be, you know, trying to argue your case. And I just dropped a sarky comment and I says, I'm surprised it's happened after all the work we've fucking done on it. So I didn't play it next game. So whenever I'm in this meeting, I'm saying, oh, we'll fucking work on stuff. Like, we might, you never know, we might get fucking better. That were it, I were done. I'd never fucking play it again.
But it worked, we didn't get back.
I think it might, I don't know, I think bits might. But you're one of them. I'm like, as I'm saying it all, like, all other experienced lads, I'm thinking, I've turned around, they're all like, I'm like, fucking sums it up, this place, like. So I say it, we're like.
So you were the cunts then?
Yeah, I was the biggest one then. And then it weren't long after that, He did leave in about February, and Frank Barlow and Charlie McParlow took over. But I was like, fucking, don't come to games. And I'm thinking, like, you know, I ain't done that much wrong. I've just spoke my mind a little bit. But that was me done at Forest, basically. Colin Collard coming in summer. And again, I thought, I better have a fucking meeting with him. So I pulled him. I said, look, it went tits up for me last season, but new start. I said, whatever you want to do, I says, I'll just work my bollocks off trying to get in your team. He's going, oh, yeah, you know, I need experienced lads like you. I see this is your role in this, you know, this shape and all that. I'm going, oh, I fucking sound like I got a chance. I said, it won't be a problem, like. Anyway, he pulled me on the Thursday before the first game. So I've done all pre-season. But anyway, I've got a year left and because I said to him, if you want rid of me, it's not a problem. I'll try and get myself a move this summer, try and sort myself out. He's like, no. So I didn't do what I thought. I've got a chance of playing. Sets team up Thursday before kickoff. He pulled me. He went, you're not playing. I said, oh, yeah, no. I said, I get that, Gaff. I've seen shape, like, I'm not daft. You know, I said, no problem. He went, no, you're not going to play at all this season. I went, what are you talking about? He said, you're just not going to play. Went, for what reason? He went, I'm just not going to play you. I went, will you fucking kill me? Like, I said, what am I going to do now? I said, I could have got myself a move. I said, I'd have got out your fucking hair. So when I started kicking off a bit in training, like fucking lashing balls.
Yeah.
That's the first time.
This is what we want to know.
So he's, because that was it, John Deane was at Lincoln and he rang me. He says, I know Colin really well. I'll try and get you on loan. Do you fancy it? They were like League Two, but they were up in playoffs. I said, yeah. So I'll of course, you want to play. You know, I probably 33, 34 by then. I thought, you ain't got long left. So I just want to play. So Dixie's run back, he says, Colin's not letting you go. I went, why not? I said, I'm not fucking playing. He's told me I'm not going to play. So I need to see him. And he said, no, you're not going. I'm like, why not? Why? Like, fucking, they're not paying enough money for you, like, covering your wages. I went, well, the League Two side, they're not going to, like, you know, I'll get out of your hair, you know.
He said, get some back.
Yeah. He says, we can cancel your contract. I went, I'm not fucking daft, like, you know.
I don't want to play that much. Yeah.
So we goes down to training. I thought, oh, fuck it. We're having a small sign again. First ball I got, gets it off keeper. Better that pitch is about 50 yard long. She's had a shot. Every time I go out, she's had a shot. Bam. Lads are showing. I'm going, fuck off. Like, there's leather in it. So he's like, he could say I was fucking about. So he's trying to have a bit of a go at me. I'm just like, oh, fuck off, like, you know. Shot. So he's called training.
Did he go in?
Did the fuck? Fucking no win here. So he's got me in. He says, I can't fucking have that. I went, just let me go, Gaffer. Let me go on loan. You know, he says, right, I'll do my best. I'll try and get you out on loan. He says, but I don't want you fucking about again. I says, yeah, no problem. Train next day, no problem. I says, oh, what's happening with Lincoln? Yeah, we're still on wait. Anyway, Dixie's rung me. They're not letting you go. Training. I start booting balls over towards Trent. And he's gone, not having that, fucking get in. I'm going, fucking sort me out, like, rambling as I'm walking off, you're fucking, or this, that, and the other. Now we're gone next day. So I thought, it worked. Yeah.
It doesn't work, I tell you, like, it works.
So I had a season on loan, well, a couple of spells on loan at Lincoln, and right, enjoyed it, like, you know. So again, I was like a bit pissed off with myself, so I'm thinking, I shouldn't have had to be act like a wanker, like, to get myself out. But I just thought, but then they were sort of going out, they were trying to get me to cancel my contract, and I'm like, well, everybody else gets paid up, you know, why am I not getting paid up? Like, you know, you've got rid of loads of players, like, and they've gone with a contract paid up. And I'm like, I signed that contract in good faith. I'm willing to fucking train and play. You're not letting me. Let me go somewhere else. But they went out of the way to be fucking awkward, like, so I was like, right, fuck you. Be a twat, like.
Sometimes it's got to be done, innit?
Yeah, that's the only time I've ever done it in me.
And it worked?
Yeah. But the other clubs, I never wanted to leave them, so.
A Lincoln fan got in touch asking what happened the second half of the 6-7 season.
Fell off a cliff second half of the season.
When I first went there, we had a real good run. You know, pitches were still nice, like, and we could play decent football. And because of how long you could spend on loan at a club, I had to go back to Forest for a month. But I'd been training down at Birmingham. With Bruce, he used to let me go in and train at Birmingham. But I had to go back during December because they said we wanted for the second half of the season and to cover playoffs. So I think we were like second at the beginning of December. I went back, come back in January. We were something like 7th or 8th. I'm like, what the fuck you been doing, lad?
I know I'm decent, but fuck me, lad.
We ended up, we got into playoffs. I think Bristol Rovers beat us in playoffs. You know, but as I said, we were flying before Christmas, you know, playing really well. So I thought, that was what happened, like. sent me back. I had a good Christmas, like.
You weren't the same until you got fit by February.
Did you just want to keep playing? Because obviously you went into non-league and
yeah.
Play. But how old were you when you finally?
Kind of like 34 right. when I finished at Lincoln. And then I'm thinking, you know, it's like, I'm thinking, I must still have a decent rep in the game, like, and my legs aren't totally gone. So I'm looking like League One, League Two, just fucking nothing. And then, you know, I didn't really have an agent. And then I had a couple of games. I was living down in Solihull, so I had a game for Solihull Moors. Thought, no, I can't do this Tuesday, Thursday night training, like. And then I bumped into Mark Cooper, lived near me, and he were at Kettering at the time. They were Conference North, but they were full-time. So he says, oh, just come in and train and play and see what you think. So we used to, so I didn't have to drive, so he'd take me down. And so I just started playing. Then I was doing my badges as well. And he said, like, you know, you can do your coaching hours while you're here. And we ended up, we had a decent team at Kettering. Got promoted out at Conference North into what's now National League. And we were doing all right. We had a couple of good seasons, a couple of good FA Cup runs. And then Coops got the Peterborough job when they were in Champ, first time that Fergie left. And he took me as assistant. So that's when I won my boots up. Like, yeah. That's how I've been about 37 then. I could have still played like at some sort of, still playing conference at 37, like. She used to sit in at fullback, like, cigar and brandy. Jumping balls.
Nicky, thanks for coming Tom on.
Yeah, Tom Van Nick. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Yeah.
Bit disappointed I had a pint, like, be honest, but.
I'll go switch gas on.
I can't have it all.